Hey, let's get our Bibles and open to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And we have made our way finally to the 6th chapter out of 13. Chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. And here in verse number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "We then," referring to the material we just looked at in chapter 5, that we have been given an ambassadorship. We represent the Lord God in heaven on this earth. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ in this present evil world. And we've been given a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. That was chapter 5, verse 18. So then, on the basis of this ministry and this duty, we then, as workers together with him, okay? Now, there's a twofold blessing in the wording there. First of all, we work together. You and I, every saved man, every saved woman is part of one body, 1 Corinthians 12, part of one body, Ephesians 2, Ephesians 5. As members together of that one body, your labor has an effect on my labor. My work has an effect on your work. We don't work for God in isolation or in independence. We work for God with one another in conjunction with and in support of one another. And then the second truth found in that same phrase is that we do not work for an absent God. We do not work for a God who is not present or not cooperating, not assisting us in our labors, but we work together with him. That is, he is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Okay, that is, he is strengthening and enabling and blessing us in all of our efforts and all of our labors. He's walking with us, talking with us, comforting us, guiding us, directing us. And so even as we labor for our God, God is working with us. Remember, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." He didn't say take the yoke or take a yoke. He said, "Take my yoke." So we're entering the yoke together with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are pulling the gospel plow together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And hey, that's really good news. All right, so let's read it. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." All right, now, I believe with all my heart that one could not be saved were it not for the grace of God. I believe with all my heart that there is no way that any sinful man, any sinful woman could ever save themselves, merit salvation or earn salvation on the basis of good works, average works, mediocre works, or even great works. No, I believe that by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I believe with all my heart. I mean, Titus says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." So I'm satisfied that salvation is a gift of God bestowed upon believers, and it is purely a matter of grace. However, having said that, every passage in our New Testament that speaks of this salvation by grace carries with it, in its context, an admonition, an encouragement, or a command to do good works. Look at, just look right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. See, "I am a recipient of the grace of God. I do not want that grace bestowed, that has been bestowed upon me, to be an empty thing or a fruitless matter. I want to try, though I could never do so, I want to try to make saving me worth God's while. Now, I'm not going to earn the maintenance of my salvation any more than I could earn my salvation. What am I saying? That I'm saying I'm not going to stay saved if I do good works. I couldn't do enough if I tried. I couldn't always and ever be right and be correct. However, since Jesus loved me enough to die for me, well, I want to live for him. Since God loved me enough to pardon my sins and give me everlasting life, I want to live in a fashion that pleases him and brings honor to him. So I have, by grace, been reconciled. I don't want that to be a vain thing. I have by grace been given a ministry of reconciliation. I don't want that to be a vain thing. I want to labor for my Savior who saved me freely by his grace. I want to labor for him, not because I have to, because I want to. Verse number 2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted." In the same verse, the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Let's read it. "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee." Right? To succor is to run to the aid of another, to race to the assistance of another. So God heard me. I called upon him. He heard me. And when he heard, he ran to save me. He raced to my rescue. And the scripture then says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know, there's as many different ways of rightly dividing the word of truth as there are men attempting to divide it. I've got shelves right here filled with books, and many of those books teach one method of dispensational truth, while many other books teach a different method of dispensational truth. And then other books teach that both of those ways are not entirely correct in their matter of dispensational truth. But let me tell you something, and hope you're listening carefully. Listen carefully. You and I, we might differ about how men were saved before Noah's flood. Okay. Or we might agree on how men were saved before Noah's flood. You and I might have some argument on how men were saved prior to the giving of the law, or we might be in perfect agreement about it. You and I might disagree about how men were saved during the legal age, Old Testament times, when God's primary dealings were with the nation of Israel. Then again, we might see eye to eye on that matter. There might be some room in many circles for debate as to how men will be saved in the future tribulation age and in the kingdom age when Jesus Christ rules and reigns upon this earth. Okay, you and I might differ on that slightly, might differ on it greatly. We might agree perfectly though. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 calls us to behold this necessary, essential truth upon which we must be in agreement. We must all be in agreement on this one. That right now, today, God runs to save those whom he hears calling upon his name. Today is the day of salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, freely given to all who will trust this Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, there's no argument about that. Today, a man is saved without sacrifice, without offering, without attending, without giving, without abandoning, without water, without membership, without deeds of the law, without Sabbath keeping. Today, a man is saved by grace through faith. You say, well, don't you think it's always been that way? That's not the point. You say, well, do you think it'll ever be any different? That's not the point. The point is laying aside all of those debates about how people who aren't living anymore might have been saved, and laying aside all those arguments about how people who haven't even been born yet may be saved in a future day. Our concern today, right now, is seeing men, women, boys, and girls saved by grace through faith in the one and only way that anyone and everyone can be saved right now, today. And that is by hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that gospel from one's heart, and being born again. The Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says the gospel is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and the third day Jesus rose again according to the scriptures. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Are you saved? Is your neighbor saved? Is your co-worker saved? Are your parents saved? Are your children saved? Right now, that's what matters. Right now, that is the issue. The Bible says in Job chapter 17, verse number 13, if I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. The Bible says today is the day. Don't wait. Today is the day. Don't put it off. Today is the day, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Many a man who was going to get saved, you know, one day, didn't have that one day. Many a woman who was going to get saved tomorrow never saw tomorrow. Many an individual who wanted time to think about it, they didn't get time to think about it. And many a soul is in hell right now, tormented not only by the flame, but by the remembrance of the opportunities that they had to be born again, by the opportunities which they put off for a fairer season, a season that never broke, that they put off for a fairer morning that never arrived. So friends, today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to be born again. I realize, you know, I'm not so out of touch. I realize that the days when multitudes listened to Bible preachers over the radio, those days are gone, and they may never return. I realize that. I realize that the day when people would actually sit through 10, 15, 20, or 30 minutes of somebody speaking straight and true in the way that I'm doing right now, I realize the days when people listened to that, those days are past. I don't have any false ideas about that. But I also know that there are people right now who have seen the folly and the error of the religion and the church that they've trusted to save them. And they know in their heart that the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. But at the same time, that's someone who's worried about what might happen at the family reunion if they find out They're worried about what their mother will say, worried about what their father will do, worried about how their job mates will react if you get religion, you know. I'm telling you, if that's you, you are putting off the salvation you know you need. You're waiting to trust Jesus, the Jesus that you know can save you right now. And I'm telling you, friend, you do not have any assurance at all that you will live to see another day. And right now, you are so sick and tired of being in bondage to that drink, being in bondage to that dope, being in bondage to that pornography. You know that every worldly program, every rehab, every new effort that you've made to try to deliver yourself, it's failed. And you know in the depths of your heart, the only hope you've got is to trust Jesus Christ. You know that. And yet, for fear of an unknown tomorrow, for fear of an uncertain outcome, you are putting off trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are deceived into thinking that you've got another week or another month or another year to think it over. And I'm just telling you, you are not promised tomorrow. Bible says your life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's gone. It's gone. Then it's too late. You wake up in hell and you wanted to go to heaven. You wake up eternally lost when you could have been eternally saved because you just put it off. And so I beg you, I plead with you. Maybe you're someone who might hear this recording a month from now or a year from now. Listen, I know you have questions. I mean, I've been saved more than 3 decades and I have questions. I know you have things that you're not sure how they're going to turn out. I've been saved for 3 decades. There are still things I'm not sure how they're going to turn out. There's some things in the Bible that you find confusing and you don't understand. And you say, well, people disagree on those things. I'm telling you, I've studied this book for 32 years and there are still things in this Bible I find difficult. Okay. Don't let that be the thing that deters you, that keeps you away from receiving Jesus Christ. Okay. I may find some things difficult in this Bible, but one thing I know is I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to leave this world and enter the glorious presence of the Lord. Now, I'd rather die with questions and go to heaven than die with questions and go to hell. You'll get your answers in heaven. I'd rather die with things that I'm not sure about and go to heaven than to die with things I'm not sure about and go to hell. You know, look, I'm not offering you a full and complete and perfect understanding of everything in the Bible. Nobody can do that. I'm not offering a life where all your troubles go away. I'm just telling you that you can be saved by a God who will race to save you. You can be saved by a God who loved you enough to make salvation a matter of grace and not works. But you've got to receive that salvation today. You can't keep putting that thing off because your heart is going to grow hard. Some tragedy could strike your life and you'll miss out. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So come on, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? In Daniel chapter 2, there's a dream. The king has a dream, and in that dream, God unfolds the future of the Gentile empires and nations. King Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed, he saw this great image, and the head of that image was gold, and then the torso of that image was silver. And then the loins of that image were brass, and By the time you got down to the feet, it was miry clay. And the truth of the matter is that that image showed that as time went on, the lower on the image you got, the coarser the metal, the farther along time went, the more and more the thing became unfit, worthless. Well, I want to tell you, today is the golden opportunity. Tomorrow may be the silver season. The next day will be the bronze, until at last, one turns to clay and then to dust. So why put it off? This is the best day you'll ever have to be saved, because it's the only day you can guarantee is yours. This is the only day you can be certain that God will save you. You might not be alive tomorrow. You might not have your mind tomorrow. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but it's a fact. And you know it. There's people lying in comas right now that were not in comas yesterday. And hey, they didn't sign up for that. There's people with amnesia and Alzheimer's disease this week who were not there last week. And they didn't plan on being there this week, but there they are. There are people who have died since the sun came up this morning who did not plan to die before the sun set this evening, but they're gone. Are you saved? Are you saved? Okay. When did you get saved? When did you get born again? You know, you didn't evolve into it. You must be born again, Jesus said. There must be a time in your life when you, from your heart, as an act of your will, put your faith and your trust in the finished work, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, born of a virgin, lived without sin, died on the cross, rose from the dead, sits at the right hand of the Father, and is King of kings and Lord of lords. When did you trust him? When did you call upon him? When did he grant you the new birth according to the scripture? Okay. I don't care what church you belong to. I didn't ask that. Are you saved? I didn't ask if you were a good person. Doesn't matter. Are you saved? I didn't ask if you were sincere. I didn't ask if you were trying hard. I didn't ask if you were doing your best. Are you saved? The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. The Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now, are you saved? Right now, are you born again? You must be. You must be born again. All right, now, I'm going to go back in chapter 5 just for a minute. Okay, let's do that. Because we need this, verse number 19, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5:19. Says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Okay, how does he do this? Verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Okay, Jesus Christ, who is not a sinner, took your place as a sinner. It says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay, so God, he's in Christ. Christ becomes sin for you. In exchange for your faith in Jesus Christ, your trust in Jesus Christ, God will give, in the same way that he gave Jesus your sin, he will give you Jesus' righteousness. See, I'm not going to heaven because I am righteous. I'm going to heaven because I have been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ, whereby I have access to everlasting life. For example, let's suppose you don't have any money and you are starving and the only meal in town costs $100. And in your whole lifetime, you could not earn $100. What happens? Well, you're going to starve to death. That's all there is to it. You starve to death because you don't have the money, and you know you can never earn that money. So I walk up to you and say, I love you. You say, you don't even know me. That's okay. I love you. I got that much love. I love you, and I want to give you $100 that you don't have and you could never earn. I'm going to give you $100 so you can buy that food so you can live. Now, all you got to do is trust me and take the money. And now you don't get the food because you earned it. You don't get the food because you came up with the money. You get the food with my money that I gave you. All right? I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm not going to heaven because I have earned it. I can't earn it. I don't have the righteousness required to get to heaven. But God said, I'll give you the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and you can get in on his righteousness. And it just seemed to me that I'd be a fool to turn that down. So I didn't turn it down. No, I received it. And now I'm going to heaven and I have eternal life. Do you? Are you going to heaven? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's too late. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray that if one day somebody happens to be listening to this recording, that they will, that your Holy Spirit will be working on, in their heart, help them, Lord, to see their need, to see that you can meet that need, that you run to meet that need, and to be a help to them, to save their soul, to help them to have faith so that they can receive you and know for sure that they're going to heaven when they die because of their wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, who's in whose name we pray. Amen.